what you are trying to see happen a year from now, 10 years from now, the person that you want to become is deeply, deeply connected to exactly the way you make the decisions about this four burner life today. Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Yunus, and I believe we need all the help we can get when it comes to living a full and free life. Here you'll find honest truth, practical tips, and perspective changes that help you embrace the miracle that is your life. It's an in-process conversation that's going to be unfiltered, and it better be fun. Let's get real together. Oh, hey there. Welcome to Let's Be Real. I'm your host, Nicole Yunus, and I am just so darn glad to be in this conversation with you. I don't know if this is supposed to be a place for all of us to have a confessional about how life is really going, but I do hope that that might be the case for you. Do you ever find yourself watching TV and you happen upon something? Sometimes just it's the end of the night and I'm trying to like decompress and disconnect my brain. So I'm thinking I'm going to find like one 20-minute show or whatever, 25 minutes to sort of make that transition out of whatever's been on my mind. And my number one choice is always International House Hunters because I like to pretend like I'm moving somewhere glamorous. And we're not, but I just like to pretend. So that's usually what I watch. But the other night, I hit the guide and all of a sudden, I'm deep into a Lifetime movie about Salt-N-Pepa. And I don't know if you know who Salt-N-Pepa are. But you should. Back in the eighth grade, nothing mattered more to me than Salt-N-Pepa. I just thought they were so awesome. They were like the first female rapper, MC, like hip hop group. I don't know if they were the first, but in my eighth grade mind, they were definitely the best. And I was definitely not allowed to listen to them. And I definitely did anyway. To this day, I mean, I feel like I can figure out who my people are by just working a lyric from a Salt-N-Pepa song into a conversation just to see if you can pick it up and you know what it is. Now, I'm not saying that all their lyrics are edifying or all their lyrics honor God in all ways, but man, they were so good and so confident and so creative and just total trailblazers in their time. So here I am. I'm like, I'm into this Lifetime movie. If you've ever watched a Lifetime movie about like actual people, it's real interesting because of course they like find people who kind of look like them, but that seems to be their number one priority, like not their acting ability or the script. It's more like, do they kind of look like them? And this show, it might turn out to be awesome because honestly, 10 minutes in, my family required me to change the channel and I was like, hit record. I'm going to check that out later. So stay tuned if you want to know how the Lifetime movie about Salt-N-Pepa actually is, because I'm here for it and I'm here to deliver that kind of content. I'm here to shape your life in these very, very important ways. Anyway, I hope you understand that sometimes a little bit of decompressing is a very important part of our, not a little bit, like a consistent practice of decompressing is a really important part of being able to pace your life in a way that allows you to experience freedom and fullness and joy, even as you get after all of that stuff that I know is super important to you that you are pursuing. Okay, so we're going to get into it today. And today I really just want to tell you a little analogy that my clients have found really helpful in their life. It's very simple, but sometimes just these simple, sticky concepts can really help us frame up the way that we're thinking about our life, the way that we are understanding those times where we might feel anxious or overwhelmed or frustrated or resentful. That's the stuff that I'm really interested in helping you guys work in, because those places where we have those emotional responses are so instructive to our life. And they're places where I believe we're being called to grow and to learn and to not just condemn ourselves or shut ourselves down, but actually to really be in that place and have new ways of thinking about our life that give us the kind of resilience and discipline that we need to really pursue all that I believe is out there for you in whatever that dream is that you're pursuing, whether that's just trying to be like a joyful person in your everyday life, or if that's like, what am I really here for and what's my calling? Or if you've got a business that you're starting or an organization that you're running or a ministry that you're passionate about. Whenever we have big dreams that require consistency and discipline, we're going to hit obstacles along the way. It's one thing to just live in the day-to-day and make the day-to-day happen. It's quite another to actually have a vision for something that you want to see come into your life and pursue it. It takes pacing, it takes prioritization, it takes consistency, and it takes an understanding of your capacity. So I want to give you this little analogy that, strangely enough, was taught to me by a man named Pepper. Speaking of salt and pepper, there is a Pepper walking around out there, and his name is Pepper. And any man who goes by the name Pepper is worth listening to, number one. So, and he is everything that you may think that that name just brings to life, just full of life, full of joy, amazing at his work as a transformational coach. And he used this analogy with me, and I've been using it ever since. So shout out to Pepper. Thanks for all that you've done for me. And this analogy is around imagining yourself standing at the stove and you're preparing a meal. So you're working with kind of different elements, kind of bringing them together, right? And you've got a stove in front of you. And so Pepper likes to talk about the four burner stove. And on the four burner stove, there's going to be a couple things on the front burners, which is where you're actively working, you're actively cooking. You may have a couple things on the back burners where you've turned the heat down and you're letting them, like, they don't need to be tended quite as much. And then you probably have a couple things on the counter. They're not even on the stove yet. They're just like on the counter next to the stove. And he loves to use this and has taught me to use this analogy to help prioritize and pace in your life, and to think about your life like that four burner stove. Or for some of you, one of my friends was like, I work with a two burner hot plate. I'm like, great. You've got a two burner hot plate. Maybe you're a six burner stove kind of person. You're not more than six. Okay. Even chefs are not working with more than six burners at a time. So most likely four burner is a good analogy to use. And in this analogy, I want you to imagine your priorities, the things that you're working on as existing on that stove or on the countertop. And as you look at your month, as you look at your week, as you look at your day, you're thinking about how you're moving those pots around to allow the things that require the highest priority, the things that you're attending immediately, to be on those front burners, to have things that maybe move to the back burner. And you kind of have in your mind a timing on how long that item is on the back burner, to have things that you might move to the countertop or consider done. So what this does for you when you imagine this kind of playing out in front of you, standing at the stove, you've got your pots on the stove, is it forces you to make priorities, and it forces you to engage with pacing. Okay, so let's talk about those two things first, and then we'll talk about capacity. The first thing that the four burner stove analogy does is it forces you to prioritize. It makes you actually look at the things in front of you and not just believe that they're all equally urgent and important, because they're not. They're not equally urgent and important. There are very rare times where everything is burning down at the same time. Everything is not equally urgent and important at every single moment. And if it is, if that's how it feels, then we have some work to do, because you've gotten yourself into a position where you're way over your capacity, or you're working out of a reactive style where you believe everything is your responsibility. You've got to hold on to everything. It's probably a boundaries issue, because nobody can live with a six burner stove that everything on it is urgent and important at the same time. Your brain just literally doesn't work that way. So you've got to ask yourself some hard questions about what is your priority. What you're doing is saying, okay, I can have things that are urgent and important. I can have things that are just urgent and not important. I can have things that are important but not urgent. And all of those are in different pots. And I want to move them around on my stove in a way that allows me to pace the way that I'm making progress, pace the way that I'm getting toward those goals, toward that preferred future, whatever it is that is out there that I want to have come into my life, right? So one of the ways that you can sort of organize those thoughts mentally, if you're thinking, okay, maybe you've already started to put some of your projects and some of your work into those buckets. You may have a pot that is like your home life and the way that you're tending just the chores and responsibilities at home. You may have a pot that is a project at work. You may have a pot that is a passion project of yours that you really want to have see come into being. You may have a pot that is, for instance, if you're parenting, it may be like a parenting pot, or you can do this just for your work. You can just look at the boundaries around your work and say, okay, what are the projects that I have going on? What needs tending? And then on each of those pots, as you imagine them, I want you to label them as urgent and not important, urgent and important, but not urgent, right? Or that's it, right? Did I say all of them? Urgent, but not important. Important, but not urgent. And then urgent and important. Oh, and urgent and not important. Urgent, but not honestly, if something is urgent and not important, it's not urgent. It's just, you may feel like it's urgent, but it's not. It's not urgent if it's not important. And so dealing with what that is, like if you feel that, you may have to ask yourself. Here's a great example. Sometimes when I've experienced urgent, but not important, it's because it's somebody else's urgency that they're placing upon me and they want what's urgent for them to become urgent for me. That is a choice that I need to make. So if I, for instance, if I have a staff person working for me and they've got a tone of urgency about something that I know is not important, I have a choice to make. I can either enter into their urgency and continue like in that reactive cycle, or I can say, you know what is important in this? What is important is to make sure that I'm developing my staff correct. So if I've got urgent but not important needs coming up to me all the time, I have an actual more important issue at hand, which is that there may be some teaching and coaching and development of my staff, of their ability to make decisions, of their ability to have boundaries, of their ability to know how to say yes and no to things and people in a way that allow their work to be done really fulfilling and be very rewarding. I may have that issue on my hand. So I may need to add a pot to my stove. That pot would be important, but not urgent. And that important, but not urgent thing would be, how am I developing my staff? Because as these things are coming up to me that I know are urgent, but not important, their experience, something's gone wrong somewhere down the road, like somewhere on my, if I'm going to continue the food analogy, somewhere down the line, some sous chef, some line chef is having a problem. So that is important, but it doesn't need to be urgent. Me dealing with their urgent issue, of course, I can deal with it, but I need to make sure I'm engaging with something that is so necessary, but often gets overlooked, which is, how am I developing my team? How am I working with the people that are working with me? How am I making sure that they are flourishing, that they understand how their four burner stove works? Because if they don't, it's going to come and jump up onto my stove, which we're going to talk about later in a different analogy later on in the season. Okay, back to your stove. So here's some questions you can ask yourself about understanding in your life what's urgent and what's important, right? One of the questions I like to ask myself is, okay, if I've got this pot on my stove, it's a project, it's a thing, how does this decision today matter a year from now? When I put this pot into the front burner and I say, I'm going to work with this, how does this matter a year from now? How does this matter 10 years from now? Important matters have a long tail. Important things often have a very long fruitfulness to them. So they may not feel urgent in the moment, but they end up being very, very fruitful in our life. So we want to ask ourselves, is this an important thing? So when I'm engaging with my child around a character issue, or when I'm like making a choice to try to really make healthy meals for my family, that to me has a very long tail because of what I'm modeling, because of what I'm prioritizing, because of what it says about life. It doesn't feel urgent. It can feel just easier to do the quick thing, to ignore the issue with my child, to order takeout again, which is fine if that's for you. But for me, I'm asking myself, what's the long tail on this? How is this important to me? I like that I chose dinner since I'm using a dinner analogy. So how does this decision today matter a year from now, 10 years from now? The question over here, am I dealing with what's important as well as what's urgent? So oftentimes when clients come to me and they're overwhelmed, they're resentful, they're frustrated, they have filled, first of all, they have too many pots on their stove in the first place. So they're crowding their work with too many pots, number one. The second is usually what's happened is they have placed a lot of pots on their stove that are full of urgent needs that are not actually important. And over time, if you deal with what's urgent but not with what's important, any leader in that situation is going to burn out because it feels like you are wasting your life. And I just want to say that for you if you're feeling that today. If you're just like, yeah, that is how my life feels. All I do is deal with what's urgent and not what's important. In that case, what you have now going on is a boundary issue. You have some tough questions to ask yourself about the way that you're doing your work, about how well you are expressing yourself, how well you are creating systems and structures and a team who can help you to make sure that you're not just filling your life with those urgent and unimportant things. You may have to deal with some inner things going on with you. Are you a control freak? Do you not trust anyone else to do this work? Do you need to grow in your relational skills so that you're able to delegate effectively and appropriately? Have you found yourself in a place where you've exceeded your capacity? Is there some coaching that you need? Is there some developing you need? Is there some shifting of responsibilities? Is it possible that some of the things need to come off of the stove for a while? You know, there are seasons in life. Again, this is a pacing issue. There are seasons and times in life where even though we love something and we love doing it, we may need to say, this pot's got to go on the counter for a while. Like this, it's got to go in the fridge. Like it's not time for this right now. There will be a time for it. I can pull it back out of the fridge. I can put it right back on that front burner. But looking at my four burners that I have in front of me, the options that I have in front of me, and balancing the urgent and the important means that there are sometimes things that we love that are good things that do have to go into the fridge. They do have to wait. A lot of times the discipline of being a great leader, the discipline of being a person who can pursue something better, something more, is the ability to say no or to say not now, and to pace out what you are trying to do. And just, you can just sit with that for a while and be like, okay, this is what's on the four burners for this week or this month or this year. This is what I'm working with. It doesn't mean I can't have these other things. Or if I want these other things, one of these other pots has to come off the stove. That is the discipline of prioritization, is the ability to say, this is what I'm prioritizing right now. Okay, so four questions that you can ask yourself to help you know, do I have the right things on my stove? Am I making the right calls? I'm going to move two things to the front burner, two things to the back burner. That's kind of in your daily tactical life of important things that you need to do. A whole pot can be like your admin and all the little things that you have to handle. So don't break those up into different pots. It's just like, I got to spend 45 minutes a day on this admin stuff or whatever that may be. So here's your questions. I asked this one already. Priorities. How does this decision today matter a year from now? How does this decision today matter 10 years from now? Second question, am I dealing with the important as well as the urgent? Is everything on my stove just urgent and unimportant? Have I understood what urgent really means and what important really means when it comes to my life? And important, remember, things that are important tend to have a long tail of fruitfulness. They often don't feel urgent in the moment. Developing my staff member so that they know how to have great boundaries and deal with their own work is going to have a long tail of fruitfulness, but it's going to be something that's going to require discipline on my side to make sure that I'm making time and putting that pot onto my stove and that it's always on my stove, team development, if I'm a manager or a leader. Third thing, what does it feel like when I'm working within my capacity? What does it feel like when I'm working within my capacity? This is kind of like last week when we talked about what's good when it's good. This is when we're asking ourselves, how am I being in the world when I'm working within my capacity? For me, I know specifically that when I'm working within my capacity, my creativity levels go way up. I have tons of ideas. There is space in my life and space in my world where I have positioned myself to be listening to what's really happening in the world and in my life, and I find myself flowing with ideas. That's when I know I'm working within my capacity. I have arranged my stove correctly. It doesn't mean that I don't have 12 to 14 projects going on. As y'all know, I love to run wild. Like, I am not very domesticated and I love to have like 15 pots. However, I have learned that some of those pots have to go onto the countertop or into the fridge. It's not because I don't love them. It's not because I'm not going to get back to it a week from now or a month from now. I'm going to pull it out and put it on my stove. But it's a matter of knowing what's on my stove right now, what requires attention right now. That fourth question, what does it feel like when I'm working outside my capacity? When you have put too many pots on your stove, when you are dealing with urgent but not important, or you don't know how to separate urgent and important, when you are outside of your capacity, what does it feel like? What are you like? I want you to engage deeply with what you are like when you are outside your capacity so that you feel the urgency of like working this out and figuring this out and using this analogy in your life to say, okay, this week, what's on my stove? Today, what's coming to the front burner? What's going to the back burner? This year, what needs to go into the fridge? What needs to go into the freezer? What maybe just needs to go into the trash? It's okay. The more you can engage with the idea that you are a limited person who has an amazing power to bring your vision into being, if and only if you have the discipline, consistency to actually prioritize, to pay attention to what's on that front burner, to have some attention on the back burner, and to have the courage, frankly, to have the courage to say, I've got to put some things in the fridge, in the freezer, in the trash. I got to put this thing off, this thing that feels so urgent because maybe somebody's coming at you an email, maybe somebody's making it feel urgent for you. You're able to step back and say, you know what? That thing is important, but it's actually not urgent this week. I don't need to use brain power on it. I don't need to get myself wrapped up about how this feels. I just need to have a good boundary and maybe respond to the person and say, this is the time that I'm going to be able to engage with that. I hope that's great with you. Whatever it is, it's about creating those boundaries because you are ridiculously responsible for your life. You are ridiculously responsible for your leadership. What you are trying to see happen a year from now, 10 years from now, the person that you want to become is deeply, deeply connected to exactly the way you make the decisions about this four burner life today. So make the call. Take a moment and say, what's on my front burner? What's on my back burner? What needs to go on the counter? Fridge, freezer, trash. Pick those places and see how that works for you guys. I'm so, so happy to be with you. I hope that's helpful. You can write to me at Nicole@NicoleEunice.com. If you've got questions, we're coming up on a reader episode. Or you're not readers, you're listeners. We're coming up on a listener episode in just a few weeks. So go ahead and send in your questions and I'll get to as many of them as I can. Talk to you guys next week. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Let's Be Real podcast. If you have a question for the show, you can send it to me at Nicole@NicoleEunice.com. And hey, if you're enjoying this, we'd love for you to like, subscribe, share it with your friends, pass it on, shout it from the rooftops, whatever you feel like doing, because the reality is, let's get as many people getting real as possible. Talk to you soon.